So, of course, obligatory Alaska question. How did you come to be on the Kenai Peninsula?
My parents brought me up in 1969 when I was 16 years old.
No choice in the matter for you, but you stayed. At some point, you had some self-determination, so.
Oh, yes. I've stayed all my adult life here, so no regrets either.
And what have you done to occupy yourself in your time here on the peninsula?
Well, first I had to grow up, and I had my babies around when I was around 20. So that was my first job, of course, was being a mom and raising my kids. But I've always been in love with photography. I remember when I was young, my parents let me hold the brownie and take pictures with it, and I was just so thrilled. And the only regret I had about coming to Alaska when I did was that I had been accepted onto the yearbook committee and I belonged to the photography club, and I was going to do photography for my high school for the annual and for the newsletters and all that kind of stuff. And so I was sad that I gave that all up, but it ended up changing, and now I have my own printers and high-powered computer, and I've grown with it. My art life, after Paul Hecht, my late husband, died, after a year I went to college and took one of Jane Jones's, I took her color photography class in spring of 2005.
So that would have been KPC, if we're talking Jane Jones.
Yes. Yes. And that was my first formal education, but I had followed photography, like I said, and I was into Nikons before I bought a big one, and I just sucked it up. I just ate it up like it was the best food I'd ever had, and I kept studying and got to go to college in 2010 with an AA and a BA in photography. So that's my formal education, and then of course I kept learning and taking classes. I keep buying the textbooks that Jane introduced to us in those photography classes, because her choice of teacher was wonderful. And so I continue to learn. While this has been up and down, like in everybody's life, I have more than one media. Photography is my oldest media. Fiber art is my most as prolific as the photography, but it goes in waves, and you probably know enough artists to know that they go through periods of, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do that. Mm-hmm. And I learned skill sets as life went on that allowed my life to be easier, and I felt more strongly about learning how to do something than hiring someone to do it for me and then still being dumb about it afterwards. I preferred to learn, so I did that. My kitchen floor is ceramic tile. It's a patchwork quilt. It's totally crazy, random, and beautiful. I have two murals in my yard that are pictorials, abstract pictorials that I used with tile left from building the house that Paul and I built. I've done installation work like that for other people. And there was a big wave of that when I was doing a tremendous amount of hard labor tile artwork. And I'm still not done, but I'm taking what I learned in those techniques, and now my current installation project, I'll be able to finish this summer, and out in my backyard faces south, so I get that summer sun shining in my windows, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I built a privacy wall that has 9 panels in it, and 2 of the panels have whole bottle sections, and then recycled. I'm also kind of green. So I've got these recycled sliding glass doors in sections that are going to be glass mural, laying glass like tile on those sliding glass doors to create 2 different compositions this summer. They're basically, literally provide privacy from someone from the street, whether they're walking or driving. It blocks the view of the whole back deck. And at first, Paul and I had 4 panels. And after 18 years there, because of the way the sonotubes in the ground kind of went, hello, hello, I'm going to shift, we had to reinforce them. So I hired a guy to put in the last 5 panels, and then I had him retrofit the first 4 to make them structurally sound with 3-point contact in the ground. And these rhombuses full of glass are predominantly blue and brown and green and clear. There's no red bottles. I couldn't get it. There's no red bottles. Anyway, the light shines through from the back, and I'm looking out the window right now, and so I see the grout, which I used, it was spray foam urethane, and that was what I used to hold the bottles in the space. But it's the bottles themselves that are the focal point. And when I finish the finish work this summer, the foam will be sawed off to being flat with the back, the bottom end of the bottles, and that grout will be painted the same color as the wooden frames around holding the bottles and the frames on the sliding glass doors, so that it'll all appear visually as non-distraction, and glass will be the focal point. So that's my big project, and I'm hoping that I can have it done by the end of June, because I'm going fishing in July, but you know how that goes. My art process, it just seems to grow, and as I add new skill sets, like learning how to tile was how I learned how to do a mosaic on my floor. And then, because I'm a rock picker, when a tile would break or something, I would put in an island of art with, I've got slab polished rock on my floor, I've got beach glass on my floor, all kinds of fun things that are part, literally, I walk on it, and nothing happens. except you lose a tile here and there. And because we're in Alaska and my house is pier and beam, the floor moves a little bit, but it's not enough to wear. It causes a kind of damage that I can't continue to maintain this floor.
So I think it's kind of an interesting collection of mediums you're working in. So you mentioned fiber arts, and then you mentioned these installations and tile, and all of which is a very kind of practical, usable, tactile, certainly. Mm-hmm. And then you've got photography, yes, which is more of a technology related and just pure imagery. Yeah. What's the appeal in all of those together? Is it like the composition element of things, or what's the bridge between photography and your other interests?
Photography is two-dimensional. So is my floor. Even though it's textured, it's slight, you know, it's got, the tiles aren't all the same depth and not all the same size, but it's basically, visually, it's a two-dimensional presentation. I think that my actual physical needs over the years dictated how I gravitated toward the art mediums that I'm in. The photography I loved since a child. I've sewn since I was 9 years old and done commercial work since 1985 right here. And so you can't just do utility stuff, though. You have to branch out and go beyond that, because over my life, first I was bored with making clothes, and then I discovered quilting. And quilting is still a very utility task, and I got tired of it until I realized I could design my own patterns and make my own creations. So then I got reinvested again, because as I gained, like I said, as I gained data, I realized that I don't have to follow those rules because I want to get this done. So I'm going to morph that into what I need to finish this. And that ability to reason through and point my intellect toward my imagination is a really great factor in how I do this stuff and where it comes from. And I mean, I've been, I laid the bottles in all the sections last summer. I got that done around I worked for the census last year. So I was really lucky to get that part done. We had a dead zone area with the COVID thing. So I took advantage of that and loaded 2,700 bottles into this wall back here. A lot of bottles. Gathered them green. I went to the recycle bins. Friends brought them to me. I don't drink a lot, so I didn't put a lot in there. But I have some stuff in there. And so that, and doing the bottles was utility work. It was finish work, like laying the tile. But then that allowed me the time and the creativity. Making the decision for the murals was the most important part of. And I realized as time went on that fantasy just amuses me something fierce. it's a form of escapism, because we all have to deal with real life and what goes along with it. And that's why I ended up deciding to go with fantasy on the mural, because it doesn't have to be real. Maybe I can inspire someone else to be artistic just by coming and having a beer with me on the deck, you know? So seeing the enthusiasm in the people you talk to this stuff about, if they're at all interested, is as much a reward as it is pleasurable to see them really see something that you've done and get excited about it. And now that doesn't mean I'm doing this for glory yucks. I'm doing it for me, but I really hope to please anybody who sees it from one side of the street or the other, because mm-hmm. they'll be looking right. The people that drive by the back of the house are going to look right through that mural, and they'll be able to see everything but the glow, because you got to be on the backyard on the east side of the bottle wall to see the, or I mean on the north side, sorry, the north side to see the glow of the light through the glass. And that's, I'm just ravenous waiting to see what that's going to look like. So
for your artwork, it sounds like you like a challenge, a practical challenge, a tactile experience. And you mentioned that you come up with your own designs. So where do you get inspiration?
I guess I'm a mix of facing realism and then using my imagination to put the fine points.
I think that's probably about the perfect description for the piece that you are donating. It's a black and white. It's a scene of a snow fence. So you've got that realism, right? You've got the, you know, everyday,
yes.
These are things, it's snow, this is reality.
Mm-hmm, but then you shadows.
Yeah, you've got so much texture in there that it almost makes it an abstract, which is a really fun combination of, you know, snow. We all know snow, of course, but being able to find a vantage point, and I don't know how much like post-production you've done, but the final image has some really striking texture and almost this kind of undulating feel to it. So I think that is kind of, you're describing your approach to artistic life, but I feel like that's a pretty apt description of this piece as well. I don't know if that was something you were shooting for when you were literally shooting this, but
I suppose I was. I mean, I really enjoy asymmetry, and yet I also enjoy balance. And the fact that you brought up those points about that photo, I basically had to remove a shadow or two that I felt interfered with the total construction. I think there was there must have been a power line shadow across the snow, and I said, there's no reference to this line anywhere in this photo, so I'm just going to get that out of there. You know, that kind of thing. I did some cleaning, and then you always, even though I shoot, I've got a full frame Nikon, and I don't have the biggest expensive, most expensive one, but I've got a very nice one. And it gives me very large, the capability of creating very large images. But you still have to sharpen, you still have to contrast, you still have to find a white point and a black point. And these are all technical things that you learn in class. And then between the classes and then my time that I spent with Ralph Sterling, he was an absolute technical genius. And he taught me a whole lot about printing and computers. And but our approach to photography was as night and day as it comes. So we still use the same camera, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. It was just where we were from.
Photography, of course, has that very technical, you know, academic approach and element mm-hmm. to it as well, but I kind of feel like you're coming from maybe the more non-realism abstract. Do you find yourself shooting abstracts very often? Was this kind of a departure for you, or what like sort of imagery gets you excited to photograph?
I shot that fence because, I mean, I drove around the loop a couple of different times in the last couple of weeks, and I was looking for something that was beautiful and unique. And the way, I mean, and I took that shot at Diana Lofstedt's. She's got the Miller House there across from the church in Kenai, mm-hmm. out back behind the Oilers Hall. And I've gone back there many times to look out over the bluff. And plus, I'm a friend of Diane's. And when I saw that fence and I saw the way the shadows were coming in already, because it was probably 3 or 4 in the afternoon, I said to myself, now this has some great geometry in it. And you can see hints of the fence that's at the back of the bluff. You can see the tips of it. So we have an impression of this is a classic white picket fence. It's this high. Look at how much snow is here. That's a gasper, right? And then look at the way the wind blew it. And then the texture, because the wind blew the snow and made it like crumbly pepper all over the top. I've always liked asymmetry. So I think that is why I chose to pick that photo. I mean, I have some really straight, I love to do candid portraiture, and I have some really nice pictures of the creatures I live with, my cats, that are show quality. But I do it for myself because they amuse me. And one of these days I'll probably take all these great cat pictures and see what I can do to make myself some money in my old age. So, but in the meantime, I'm just enjoying, and I take quite a few shots with my iPhone. I've got the 11 Pro. It's got a great camera in it, and you can print those probably easily up to 11 by 14 without doing any extreme adjustments to them to make them still look the quality mm-hmm. that they need to be at that size. In fact, I have a framed canvas that I made of a cat that I lost a few years ago, and he got hit by a car and it broke my heart. But I had taken this shot of him in the house, and he was a gray cat with a white spot in his chest, and he was sitting on the top of one of my chairs looking at me facing the window, the south wall. And when I shot the shot, if you've ever done any Zoom photography, the space visually compacts itself and changes the depth of field when you put it on a when you look at it after you shot it. It condenses that area, and so it shrinks it in depth, even though it's a two-dimensional thing. And that this shot ended up looking like that. So I took this candid of my cat. It was good enough. I hung it on the wall. I consistently look for that stuff. If you were to look at my Facebook page, I try to entertain there. When I'm not posting, this is what we should be doing stuff, I try to break it up with innocuous cat pictures and you know, local home scenes.
Well, where would the internet be without cat pictures?
So anyway, what else can I say? I'll have a Nikon till the day I die. And I'm going to be sewing. In fact, I just got a call for a prom dress. Last year was terrible, by the way. If I didn't work for the census, I would have been in the poorhouse. But I worked 10 months on the census, and that allowed me to save a lot of money. And so now I have a nice pad for the next few years.
Nice.
Yeah. If I wasn't 77 when the next one came around, I'd probably do that one too. But there were 77-year-olds working on different teams this year or last year, so that was interesting.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, I think that will probably do it for me, unless there's anything else that you want to add.
Art has been part of my life and it's been in my soul for all of my life, but I didn't have the guts to really acknowledge it until I was probably 40. Mm. So I could say what got me to where I'm at now is that I decided that if I wanted something, I'd figure out a way to get it. And if that meant learning how to do the task, I did that, which is a never give up kind of behavior. And that determination is still with me to this day. So if you want to emphasize a strong elderly woman, go for it. If I'm that, or is it my creativity that makes me strong, or is it my determination to learn something every day? Every day until I die, I'm going to learn something.